Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thank you for joining us on the journey. Roger, we are in part two of a three-part series we've called Singing with Thankfulness.
Yes, and we're doing something special. We're pulling out three hymns that we feel like have a lot to do with Thanksgiving as we're heading into Thanksgiving. And we're talking about the history of these hymns. And then we're going to pull out some passages that are kind of surround these hymns, make some spiritual applications. But then at the end of the podcast, we're actually going to play that song, and we encourage you to stay with it to the very end. Hear the song, sing with it. It will tie the things we say into with the song and hopefully give you new meaning and new understanding and a greater appreciation for this hymn and some of the things that we've done. Last week, as we started this, we talked about the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful hymn. And again, that's on our podcast and on our website, and you can find that and listen to it again if you'd like to. Today we switch gears and we talk about another one of our great hymns, and that's O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And we want to kind of go back and talk a little bit about the history of this hymn. And there's a couple of expressions in that hymn that are not real familiar with us. And we're going to talk about what they mean, and then Jason's going to take us to some of the scriptural background to this, lots of things. And then at the end of this program, we're going to play that song, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. This was written by a guy by the name of Robert Robinson. He was English, and he was born in 1735 and died in 1790, died at the age of 55. And his mother sent him to London to an apprentice, and the idea was he was going to be a barber. And he kind of flunked out of barber school because the barber said he spent more time reading and was interested in studies than he was actually cutting hair. And at the age of 22, young age, he wrote this hymn, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Later in life, he studied the original languages of the Bible, became a very good scholar, actually studied about ancient baptisms and kind of worked his way out of infant baptism into how the New Testament really teaches about baptism. And so he was a learned man and a great scholar. And at a very young age, he gave us this powerful, powerful hymn, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Yes, I'm going to read the lyrics to you in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to talk, as Roger mentioned, there are two words or two phrases in this that maybe aren't all that familiar to us. And that makes sense. I mean, this is nearly 300 years old, and so language evolves, but there's a reason that we still sing it centuries later. This is just a powerful message, an anthem for God's children to sing. The first of them is Ebenezer. We'll hear at the beginning of verse 2, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." And we're not talking about the Charles Dickinson Ebenezer Scrooge there. That's actually an English translation of a word that we read, a name that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 7. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come," is how verse 2 of this hymn begins. And it gets all the way back into 1 Samuel 7 when Samuel had become a judge in Israel and was calling the people to repentance. In 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3, he says, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And we read that the people responded. They recognized that they had wandered away from God. Now, tuck that in the back of your mind here. We'll return to that in a moment. But they put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and The narrator tells us they served the Lord only. But the Philistines were still there, of course, with a great army. And so Samuel, in 1 Samuel 7, gathers the people in a place called Mizpah, and he's going to pray for them. They fasted on a day of sacrifice, and they readily confessed as a people, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now, they're all there in one place at Mizpah. And the Philistines hear about that. The lords of the Philistines, we're told, go up against Israel. And when Israel hears that they're coming, they're very afraid. And so they come to Samuel and they say, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel offers a sacrifice. 1 Samuel 7 tells us that he cried out to the Lord for Israel. And we've got this great, simple statement, "And the Lord answered him." Verse 10 says, "As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel." And so I want you to get that scene in your mind. There isn't anyone there who would have doubted God is the one who has delivered us this day. It wasn't Samuel. It certainly wasn't any of us. This was God intervening for us. And so Samuel takes a stone, we are told, a big rock, and he sets it up, and he calls it Ebenezer. 1 Samuel 7:12 tells us, "Till now the Lord has helped us." Ebenezer literally means stone of help. And so in just a moment, when you hear this lyric read, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." It's a beautiful way of expressing to God, "I'm only here because you've been with me, and I thank you for being my stone of help. I praise you as the fount of my blessings, and I'm going to continue to depend on you every step of the way."
I think in some ways, Jason, you know, it's not exactly parallel, but throughout our area, we see historical markers.
Yeah.
And something important happened there, and they left this marker. We may put a monument up somewhere where it's just a reminder that something important had helped. This rock itself wasn't the savior.
Yeah.
This rock was simply a reminder. You know, the parallel to that today is the Lord's Supper. That is our reminder of what the Lord has done for us. But he raised this rock and this Ebenezer. And the reason for doing that is to glorify God and to remind them, we don't want to forget.
Yeah. Yeah. The other word that is maybe not as familiar to us is fetter. I'll read in just a moment, verse 3, "Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." A fetter, just think of a slave that would have chains around his feet. A fetter is a kind of shackle for the feet. And so certainly back in the 1700s, that would have been a very vivid word picture where Robinson is saying, I want to be bound to you by your goodness. And so with that in mind, let me read these lyrics, and then Roger, you're going to even tell us about how some of these lyrics have changed over the years. Yeah. The hymn reads 3 verses, "O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, my stone of remembrance. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, like chains, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
That's just great, great hymn. And I hope, as we said, you stay with us to hear it sung, and you'll join with us as it's sung. Through the years, there's been some changes. That's true of most songs. Publishers come in there, and they try to change the language just a little bit. And a lot of the modern song books don't even use the word Ebenezer now. They've just dropped that and put in word help there just to help people out. The title originally was Come, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, as if he's petitioning God and is calling upon God in a prayer. That word come has been dropped from most of our modern song books, and it's just now called O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But there's another line deeper into the song that I think both takes us back to Samuel and to Robinson's life. There was a phrase in there that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And that was why Samuel was calling Israel to repentance, because they were wandering away. But it's also kind of the life story of Robinson. As a young person who went to London, he got connected with some street gangs and really went down some dark paths in his behavior and in his life. And hearing some preaching back then, he turned his life around and really devoted it to writing hymns and studying of God's language and to really devoting himself to what God wanted him to do. And so that phrase of those dropped out, there's a lot of meaning to that. Now, as we kind of transition from that, we think about that idea that God is our help. God is our Ebenezer. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, we're reminded in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And that again, reminds us of how involved God is in our lives and how powerful he is. But back in the book of Psalms, Psalms 46, the psalmist would say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, this is something that the sons of Korah understood as they wrote this. This goes back to Samuel as he understood this, and really all through the scriptures. We think about Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the apostle Paul in prison. Even in our lives, God has been there. God is a present help in trouble. And that ought to help us as we think about that. Let me ask you this, Jason, as we kind of stress this just a little bit. In what way do we say in 2020 God is a help? I mean, I'm sure thousands of prayers going up, wanting the world to turn around, wanting this COVID to stop and get back to normal, and it doesn't look like things are working that way. And so, where is my help, we could say.
Yeah. We use, it seems like to me on this podcast, and for good reason, I think, the word perspective a lot. Being heaven bound is all about perspective. And I think that is one of the primary ways that God can be a help to us in 2020. Even the fact that we have a passage like 1 Samuel 7 recorded for us, where here were people who knew what it was to be God's covenant people, but also to wander away from him and then find themselves in desperate need. Passages like that show us God's people experience ups and downs. Sometimes we live in messes of our own making. Sometimes great storms come upon us and we don't necessarily know why, but there is one constant. I want you to think about that today. If you're listening on Friday or Saturday, there is one constant between the circumstances of 1 Samuel 7 and the circumstances of your weekend here in mid-November 2020. And that is God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. And so even a gift like this hymn, I hope as you reflect on the lyrics, it reminds you of how important it is to be sensitive to your daily need for God. I think of a little kid maybe who, is either oblivious or completely naive, overconfident, whatever it is, playing out in the front yard, and this little kid has convinced himself that, you know, he can do anything, or there's nothing that can pull her down. I can go anywhere I want. The world is my oyster, sort of thing. And that child wanders out into the street. And only through the watchful eye of a father or mother is that child rescued from danger they didn't even see coming. We need to be sensitive to the fact that the only reason I have gotten this far is because God is my rock, my stone of help and refuge. And then I think we absolutely need to listen to the hymn where we have that idea, I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. I'd encourage you to think about that. What brings God joy? And if I care about making him full of joy more than I care about gratifying myself, I'm on my way home. I hope by following his good pleasure, doing his goodwill, realizing that what he has told me, he's told me for my good. We hear that all over the Old Testament, that God has told us what he's told us for our good. And so maybe it seems like a simplistic way of looking at it, but I think it is rich and deep. If we will remain sensitive to our daily need for him and simply walk in the way he has told us to walk, this is the path of joy and every blessing.
You know, back in Psalms 46, where we read where it says, God is a very present help in trouble, just a few verses later, it almost sounds like it's a mirror of what we read in Samuel where this hymn came from. Mm-hmm. Because it says, the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, he raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Yeah.
And when we think about that pleasure of God, what God wants from us, I really believe God is expecting us to be in heaven. And you know what it's like when you expect company to come? You know, you got your house ready, you're ready for something to show up, and they don't come. Something's not right. And I think God's expecting us to be there. He's done his part. We've got to just be tied to him and so close that we're walking right in his shadow. And that will help us as we get through the troubles of this year or any time in our life.
You know, we, in the context of our church family, for the last 5 days now, have tried to focus, being very intentional on giving thanks. Last Sunday morning, we heard from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And so each day, we've had some little practical means of giving thanks. And what a perfect song here at the end of this work week. There is a fountain of every good and perfect gift. It is not humanity. It is not our secular society. It is not the United States government. It's not a great tax cut. I mean, there are all sorts of things that we can benefit from. It's not ourselves. I cannot be the fount of every blessing for my kids, for my marriage. But I can know the one who is, and if I live for his good pleasure, here is the path, to your point, Roger, that I was created to walk for the remainder of my days.
And what a vivid expression he uses, a fountain. You think about a fountain, it's just not a drop of water. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And that's the idea. All these blessings from God. How many things God has already done for us today and we forgot to thank him for? How many things he's still doing for us right now, keeping you healthy, keeping you safe, keeping you on the path as you look at his word. So many blessings. That fountain just never, ever ends. That's the blessings of God.
Yeah. Last thing I would bring up is just from that third verse, what a powerful thing to pray, even today and maybe this weekend. Let thy goodness like a fetter, like a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. A powerful thing to pray that God, let me treasure your goodness so much that it's like a chain that I see through the lies of sin. I see past the fleeting pleasures of iniquity. God, keep me close to you. It's like Jesus taught us to pray, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil.
You know, the image comes to my mind. Of course, I don't think this would ever been in the 1700s, but you go back to those days of camp and you had that three-legged race.
Yeah.
you and another person, and you both have your leg in a sack, and you're running as fast as you can to beat the other people. But you got to be coordinated, and you got to be in step. And you got one leg in the sack, and God has his leg in that stack. And you got to stay there. And I like that. I like that picture.
We're walking together. And so here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. What a beautiful hymn. Like I said, there's a reason that we as God's people continue to sing it. Roger, we're going to play this in just a moment, but thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you have found that fount of every blessing. You're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come. Oh,